As the earth grieves, as we grieve the loss of those whose lives are lost in Iraq. We grieve the loss of mothers. Fathers. Sisters. Brothers. Sons. Daughters. Aunts. Uncles. Cousins. Friends. Neighbors. Children. Workers. Soldiers. Innocents. We know that all those who have been killed in this war have many who grieve for them. God, too, grieves for these deaths.
Son of justice, Jesus Christ, dispel the darkness of our hearts, till your blessed light makes night time flee, and bring the joys your day imparts. In this our time acceptable, touch every heart with sorrow, Lord, that turned from sin.
Hi, my name is Kristen Gilia, and I'm privileged to work here as artist in residence. Tonight, for our social justice theme, I'd like to talk about the banners that are to represent our summer theme, Summon Out Who We Shall Be, but especially tonight, to talk about the banner representing the brokenness of our world today. I'd also like to speak about our need for communal lament as we listen to our collective call from God. So to start off, I'd like to give you the big picture of the idea for the banners. We're using several quotes this summer for understanding our summer theme, Summon Out What We Shall Be. One is a quote that Sharon Delos Parks used in a series of speeches here last fall on leadership after 9/11, entitled, How Then Shall We Live? The quote is by Rumi. It is, take your well-disciplined strengths, stretch them between the two great poles, the opposing poles of suffering and wonder, because it is inside human beings that God learns. But you know something? I think that Sharon said it better herself. So I'll try to recapture what she said. Her words were these: we need to be truly in touch with the pain and brokenness of the world, and we need to hold that pain that we've just been lamenting here tonight in one hand. And in the other hand, we hold this, that we have a duty to delight and awe. So there's one person holding two paradoxical things that are true. Thus we live in this paradox. And living in a paradox brings us to contemplation and prayer and meditation. Sharon says that in this space we pierce illusion and see reality for what it really is. So we have three parts: the pain and suffering that we hold in one hand, the duty to delight in awe in the other hand, and the space of contemplation and transformation in the other. So there's three visual banners, three ideas for a visual image. Well, where do you start? I found myself drawn passionately to start with the pain. But instead, I started with the middle one, the place of transformation. I think that's a good grounding place to begin. So we'll start by talking there. This place of contemplation is a still, quiet place sometimes. And often, we may find ourselves asleep to the realities of the world. So the person laying down covered with a blanket could well be you or me, and we're waiting and listening and maybe dreaming our call, listening for God's summons to us. The angel has come to whisper into our ear, to wake us up and direct us in our task. If you look very closely, you might see that the hand is magically reaching into her heart to touch it and to change her heart. The blanket that she is comforted with turns into the river of the water of life that she's in the midst of. On the left, you'll notice a tree that is alive and blooming. And on the right, you'll notice a tree that has had its blooming day and is now falling into the earth to decay. The roots of the tree are strong and connected with the river of the water of life. So it's a magical place, and maybe a place we go to in our dreams or in our deepest prayers. Now we'll go to the second one that I did. This one is a difficult It's a work of art like I've never made before. I listen to the radio very often, almost every morning. I feel it's very important to be connected with what's really happening in the world while living up here with my family. So I was well aware of Abu Ghraib and the news from Iraq, as well as news from all over the world about strife. But particularly the news about Abu Ghraib shook me. I went for help to a work that I had long admired by Picasso. This man did a work of art a month after the bombing of a small town named Guernica. The Germans were the bad guys at the time, and they chose to bomb the city from the air to see if a whole city could be obliterated, just to see if it could be done. Apparently, it had no political consequence besides that. So Picasso was deeply moved and made a painting that was 25 feet long and 11 feet high. Apparently, the Nazi Germans came and asked him a lot of questions about it at the time. How many people are familiar with this painting? Will you raise your hand if you are familiar with it? Good, many people are. But at each time that he was questioned about the painting, he talked around it so that it would not get taken away and destroyed. Well, I have quoted Picasso directly by taking some of his images that you may recognize and put them into this particular banner. And then I have added some scenes from our present day, including the World Trade Center, the prison at Abu Ghraib, and a photograph from the New York Times illustrating something that shook me to the core. Which is a woman soldier holding a leash, which is connected to the neck of a man who is a prisoner, who I found out later died. I think it's important to name and identify and bring forward that which we're afraid to talk about so that we're able to be changed to think about this. Some people have asked if I would talk about the symbols that I have used in here. I hope that this painting speaks to you and possibly disturbs you, but in a positive way, that you might be moved to action, to talking, and to realizing that these things are real in the Abu Ghraib prison and elsewhere in the world as well. So the first symbol I took, we'll start at the bottom, is a man that's dying. He has a broken sword in his hand. I took this literally from Picasso, except for one thing. I added a broken heart in red. If you look closely, you'll see in Picasso's painting a tiny little flower that's very, very fragile looking in the very bottom. And it's still standing up, but in mine, it's laying down under the man who's dying. The second image, next up, I hope that you guys over there are okay. I know a lot of you can't see, and I'm sorry about that. The second image I took was is a mother holding a child, unfortunately, that's dead. This happens in war, and we lament this today. The third image up is the image of a bull. In Picasso's painting, there's a bull standing off to the side, looking over his shoulder at the devastation that the bomb has created. For Picasso, according to the text that I read, the bull represents brutality. And this is from the bullfights that he observed. In my adaptation of his symbol, I decided that the bull was actually standing on people. And I drew that in, and then the next day on the radio, I'm sorry to say that I heard that our soldiers actually did that to the prisoners. So when I get a confirmation like that, I go with it. The next image is my own. It's the woman I talked about holding the leash. But now I have the leash attached to the bull. It's actually the bull's tail, so that the woman, the soldier, is holding the tail of brutality. So that's what the image means there, that we're connected with that brutality. Over on the far right, it's kind of a smaller image, but it's a large image in Picasso's painting of a burning building with a person inside that's reaching out to the heavens like this. I have that image over there on the right, and I've repeated it on the Twin Towers. And this is to say that, yes, our people died, our cousins and our friends and people that we know died in the Twin Towers, and we experienced that terrible death and destruction. And people all over the world now are feeling and have felt death and destruction as well as us. The next figure that you'll see is to represent a fireman. This is my own creation, representing the people that try to help. This is hope. Okay, the firemen who tried and spent their lives trying to help people who were caught in that burning building. You'll also see a deer above the firemen. Well, what has a deer got to do with anything? In Picasso's painting, there's a horse that's dying. And according to the text that I read, to Picasso, the horse represented innocence dying. Well, we don't have horses here, but we have a lot of deer, and they seem very innocent to me. So I put a deer in. And also, I felt... Well, the scripture kept coming to me, even the stones shall cry out. That represents creation's part in this picture. Next, you'll see an image coming from on high. That's an adaptation of Picasso's figure that's more horizontal. He has a figure coming through a door or a window that's observing more than being in dismay. And I changed that to be a divine figure coming down and being in anguish over our pain. The figure has a lantern in its hand, and it's a natural light, a flame that is alive. I'm sorry that's one part I wish came out better. It's hard to see that lantern. But it has the same relationship in this banner that it does in Picasso's to the light above it. You'll see in ours, where the plane is hitting the building, there's an explosion, and it's in the shape of an eye. That's to imitate what Picasso did, showing the bomb going off, which is also an electric light. So there's a sense of the false light and the true light in his, and I wanted to imitate that with these symbols. Oh, and one other symbol I'll talk about. There's a text in there. If you can't see it, if you go up close, you will. And it says, blah, 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 blah. I get very frustrated when I hear in the news all the justifications for war and brutality and abuse. The words seem meaningless to me, and that's what I was trying to represent there. I don't think there's any justification for the abuse and humiliation of people, and that's what that is all about. As I was working on this banner in my studio, many people stopped by, and we often had long conversations about the brutality and abuses of this war. I was usually quick to point out that a third banner was planned, one celebrating joy and awe and wholeness, which I can describe to you if you come up to me afterwards, until a man stopped me. He said that for many people and situations in the world, there is no hope. And it is important for us to acknowledge this and to live with this fact. He was saying that if we don't mourn this, that right now, for some, there is no hope, that we will not be motivated to change the way things are. Lament is important for change. During a recent camping trip, I spoke with a friend who confirmed this. She said that for Frederick Buechner, communal lament is very important, something our culture simply does not do. We're quick to look the other way and concentrate on the good. In our Lutheran theology, immediately after our confession of sins, we celebrate that we are forgiven by God. It may be that some sins we need to live with for a while and actually change not only in our hearts, but our collective actions before we are truly forgiven. The closest we come to this practice of communal lament is in the Triduum, the 3 days before Easter. On Good Friday here at Holden, we confess our sins, and we are not absolved from these sins until Easter morning at the resurrection. I believe the sins committed on our behalf at Abu Ghraib merit not only a communal outcry, but a communal lament. I have had no energy to make the third banner of wholeness and awe and wonder. And people who know my work for years will know that that is normally where I paint. But I think this is why. I think we need to live with this banner from the position of contemplation, prayer, and transformation, leaving our hearts open and vulnerable to change. I think that these two banners are in conversation with each other right now. Their job is to enrich our own conversation and contemplation in this area of lament. Our absolution will come when our hearts are changed and the angel has awakened us to our true calling as a nation and a people. The third banner will be made as a sign of God's reign that we are all called to. And as many have said before me, through our faith we know that this is the end of the story, God's reign. But to get there, we need to first acknowledge and live into and grieve our brokenness. In the meantime, maybe we can learn how to live in this space of lament through a symbol of light in the darkness that comes to us from Liberia. It is a treasure one of our community members brought back from that war-torn place, a spent bombshell that has been fashioned into a cross that holds a candle. Maybe those who live in the midst of war, as we do not here, can teach us better about Christ being present in lament and despair, and how the light can still shine when we think it will go out. Please pray with me. Gracious and forgiving God, watch over us as we slowly understand what has been done in our name, on our watch. Lead our hearts to sorrow over our brokenness and that of our brothers and sisters, so that your angels may truly touch our hearts and awaken us into your new reign of justice and love. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
storm rages, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. The storm.
A reading from Isaiah. I'll appoint peace as your overseer, with righteousness as your taskmaster. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And the darkness is not. Turn with me to hymn number 688, O Holy Spirit, Root of Life.
Living God.
Thanks be to God.